Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. Tommy's sitting over there, and we probably need some couples therapy or something. I mean, like, it's been a really long time, and I just don't know if we have the spark anymore.
That's been a while, man. The last time we did this thing, we were sitting in a room together. That was nearly a month ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I just kind of wonder if we still got it. So the next hours. Gonna be a whole lot of fun.
Yes, we will find out in just a little bit whether or not we can still do this thing. It's been over a month since we've done it like this, where we're not sitting in a room together. So yeah, good luck, guys.
Can I just mention to you that this kind of sucks? I mean, we kind of got spoiled there for a minute, and this is different. This is not my favorite way to do this. We've been doing it this way for 6 years, still don't like it.
Yeah, that's 100% fair. It is what it is, at this point. We've been doing this for most of the time we've been doing this show, right? And so it is really, really refreshing when we get to do it sitting in a room together. Hopefully that'll happen again relatively soon. But not today, sadly.
Not today, no. But I love the fact that you know, much like the rest of the state of Texas, that when you're in my area, COVID rules do not apply. Like, I love that. If anybody saw the way that we sit together, like, we'd probably have guys with, like, full-on suits in here go, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, I'm watching all the stuff on TV with, like, everybody's got a mask, and I'm going, really? Really? I mean, I know that's what you're supposed to do, but Rachel Nichols did an entire episode of The Jump wearing a mask because she was on a court somewhere, and I'm going, like, that's dedication.
Yeah.
We will never do this show in a mask.
No,
I can tell you that right now.
We will definitely not, because we will make every other arrangement to make sure that we don't have to do that. Thank goodness, because that would be a fairly miserable experience. I do wear a mask really often now, though, obviously.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm out and about, it's a weird new normal. Like, it's just a strange thing that's, like, just part of it, you know. Like, we're dealing with you know, for the school where I teach, classes starting back up, and so I'm gonna be wearing a mask to work. Given that I have a large enough room to teach in, I won't have to wear a mask while teaching, which would be nice. But I've got to make sure I can get the students far enough away from me just in case, you know. Like, it's just a weird time. That's not going away anytime. Like, at one point we were naive and you know, people were kind of like, oh, we'll get through the summer and things will be good again. And it's no, not so, even a little bit.
So I'm joking around. I'm kidding. But like, if I leave the house, which I rarely do, And that's why you're not afraid when you come to my house. Because right. You know I've been where. But when I do in the house, I do wear a mask because it's just the appropriate thing to do.
Yes.
And
we are responsible human beings, believe it or not.
Yes. Yes. And it's not fun at all. Like, it's not something that I'm like, woohoo!
Yeah.
Like, I actually avoid going outside because of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a weird place to be in where you're like, do I really need to go outside and do that? Or can I avoid that and not wear a mask?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan at all, but I have to ask you a question, sir.
Yep.
Because you're out, because you're about, because you're dealing with people, I have one question that has been bugging me ever since I started seeing this commercial. Are you one of those people that wears a mask in your car?
Definitely not.
Because
definitely not.
Okay, I'm glad you're saying because have you seen the Domino's commercial about taking your food to your car, delivering it to your car?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It plays all the time around here. Because, like, Domino's is like, hey, we're still here.
Right, and safe.
And we've got this contactless delivery thing. And like, the thing that gets me, okay, the guy taking the pizza to the car wearing a mask, okay, that's cool. But the way that they did it was that they have this guy open up the back of his car and they just put the pizza in the back and off they go. And the whole time while this is going on, the guy in the front seat is wearing his mask in his own car. And I'm like, okay, Domino's, I love you, but nobody actually does that. Well, I say that. I've seen people driving with masks on.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you're in your own vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, if like you're driving with somebody else who you're like not part of your family or whatever, by all means. But yeah, if you're by yourself in your car, for goodness sake, unless you just really enjoy wearing a mask, like, yeah, get that thing off. I can't stand wearing the mask. First of all, I've got this beard that's just all kinds of in the way. And so I use like a gaiter, you know, that goes like all the way down to my chest. So that I could like get my beard up under there. Otherwise it's incredibly annoying and it's still incredibly annoying. And then it's just super hot because like all your breath gets caught under the mask anyway. But then I have like this labyrinth of hair under there as well that all this, like my breath is getting caught in. It's just creating this like sauna under my chin. And it's a miserable experience. I understand why people don't want to do it. It's not like a super pleasant thing. Like I totally, like it's not fun, but dying isn't really sounding that great either, you know, or like bringing it to people you care about. Like I would much rather have this uncomfortable mask on and feel good about not getting my friends and family sick, you know, like it's just kind of a no-brainer, even if it sucks. Like it's a pretty minor amount of sucking compared to what the other option potentially is if we as a society don't do this relatively simple, somewhat inconvenient step.
But before anybody yells at us, we realize that the two of us could very possibly die by giving it to each other.
Sure.
And if that happens, you know, let's talk. We're cool with that. Like, we'll just wrap the show and that'll be the end of it.
It's quite the note to go out on.
So we're aware. We just, when it comes to the two of us, we really don't care.
Yes. That's completely fair.
So I have to, since we're on this, I didn't mean to do like 10 minutes on COVID,
but you know,
it's still going, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you, every day you wake up and it's like, wait, it's still here. It is definitely still going.
Yes.
And so you're right. It's something that you're going to have to work with, which is mind bending. It's a major reason that I do not go outside. I'm grateful that I don't have to go outside. And you would think not going outside and having all this time I would play games, but I know you haven't played games and I've played very little. I did play a couple hours of Firewatch yesterday. That game is really good.
Oh man, I love it.
If you have never played Firewatch, we've talked about it for years. It's fantastic. It's 6 hours long. The best 6 hours you will ever spend, because you don't do anything but walk.
Yeah. It is very much a walking simulator, but it's the best of the walking simulators, in my opinion. It is, yeah. We've talked about it before. I don't know what it was that was so captivating about that game. The acting is really good.
Yes.
The story is fascinating. The art style is cool. Like, they just executed really well something that otherwise isn't all that compelling, you know. Like, I've tried some of the other kind of walking simulator type games, and for the most part, with a few exceptions, just can't get into them. But Firewatch, I just loved. It's just a fantastic game, and I'm still waiting for the VR version of it, because they could put that out in VR and it'd be fantastic.
It really is the acting, because I started day three yesterday. And he's doing his thing, like he's boarding up his tower or whatever. And the woman comes on the radio and says, "What do you look like?" And he's like, "What?" And you go through this 5 to 7 minute segment of him, you know, describing himself, because she's like, "Cool, I need to know, because I'm looking at you just so you're aware. I can see you over here, but you look like a blob. And I'm trying to draw you." Like, it was weird and stalkerish, but it made me laugh.
Yeah.
And it's really good. So if you haven't played it, go play it.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, before we get into the copious amount of show notes that we have, I mentioned it on text, because that's the only way that you and I speak anymore. But we got some major complimentage on this show. And since we got majorly complimented, I tried really hard not to suck with the open, and I'm kind of trying to sound like a professional, because apparently that's something that we have that nobody else has got, in that we sound like a live radio show, which that's like the greatest compliment somebody could give the two of us, I think.
Yeah. We talk about this every once in a while, but for newer people who don't know, we started as a live radio show umpteen million years ago at this point, in 2005, right? I can't even tell you for sure the year. No, earlier than that? What year was it that
no,
we started?
No, 2005. 2005.
That we started as a live radio show. 15 years, good gracious, dude. on terrestrial college radio while we were in college together. So that's what we grew up in. That's what we learned to do. And so that's just always been our mindset in doing this show, is it's like a radio show more than a podcast, you know, in the way that a lot of produced podcasts sound, which I love produced podcasts. But this is fun, because we don't edit. We just get on the mic, we talk for a while, and then we shut it off, like we would if we were doing a radio show, but even less structured, because we don't have to stick to a clock, which is really nice.
Well, and the other thing is that we're lazy.
Yes. Like, it gives us a good excuse to not have to do more work.
The person that I was trying to introduce to the show, like, I told her this. It's my friend Aaron that we talked about on the Patreon content the other day that is still not up.
Yeah, it'll get there.
Because Tommy is swamped. but I was talking about her kids the other day on the Patreon content. And I told her that we did it this way. And she's like, that's BS. You're making that up. Nobody does that. And then she heard it. And she was like, okay, yeah.
Well, I believe you now.
Like,
just ramble on forever.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what we do. And after she heard a few episodes, she told me it was really good, which is a major... major compliment for us. She has a little marketing experience, and she's given me a to-do list of things to do. And first on that to-do list is, if you're new to the show, go to iTunes and rate us.
Yes.
Give us a review, because we haven't had a new review in quite a while. We need your reviews on iTunes, so that new people can see us. It's a huge deal.
Stitcher or Spotify or basically wherever you get your podcast, obviously, if you're listening to us. Wherever you're listening to us from, go rate us on that platform. I think we're pretty much... We are officially on Spotify. I don't know that we've actually discussed that on the show. But we are officially on Spotify, finally. So, yeah, wherever you're listening to us from... give us a rating on that platform because, yes, it definitely makes it more likely for other people to find us. It's the best way for other people to find us, so we would be greatly appreciative. Unless your review sucks, and then don't rate us, please.
Well, even if it sucks, like, we realize we're bad.
Right.
We don't understand why we're doing it. We just do this because it's all that we know to do. So,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. So, with that being said, we got a lot to talk about because there's been a lot of stuff. And despite the fact that neither one of us has played games the way that we need to, we have gotten caught up on everything that there is to see, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm sure we've missed something, but we've got tons and tons to talk about. So, shall we start talking about our tons and tons of stuff?
Let's do it, but before we do that, we need to mention the Patreon guys.
Yes, we do. Which are, as the page loads, Cappy, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Thank you, guys. It's a good example of our lack of editing right there. We could have just made that really nice and tight, and we didn't. But thank you, guys, for your support. As Jamie said, there is Patreon content in the queue that will be heading your way shortly. The kind of last of the E4 2020 content that'll be showing up over there. So be some entertaining stuff. That's not us playing games. We didn't play games this time. we talk about some games. Go check that out for sure, because there's good stuff there. It'll be a little bit, I'm just thinking of the Cyberpunk. We talk Cyberpunk, which is a little bit dated because it was about the last Night City Wire, and there's now a new Night City Wire, but it didn't really change too much. So, go by gamingcensored.com, click that Become a Patron link to be able to check that stuff out for sure. So,
sweet.
That said, we've got tons and tons and tons and tons of news to talk about, so we'll see how far we get into it. We're going to start with Apple, really, which is a weird place to start, but get there this way. So Microsoft has xCloud, Project xCloud, which has been in work, which is going to end up being Game Pass Online or something like that. Like, it's going to be Game Pass branded or Xbox Online, whatever it turns out to be. The name xCloud is going to go away eventually. But they're officially in beta on Android devices. They've been in beta on Android devices kind of off and on, is my understanding. Now it's with, if you have, this is the change, I believe, if you have Game Pass Ultimate, you can now be a part of the xCloud beta on Android, so on and so forth. But notably, it's not on Apple devices. And obviously, a large portion of the mobile market is Apple devices. And so if you have a service like this that isn't on Apple devices, that's a pretty large portion of the market that you're missing out on. And this isn't Microsoft's fault.
Note that you have an Apple device.
And I would be 100% on top of this right now if it were compatible with Apple devices. Without a doubt, I would be playing xCloud right now. But alas, I'm not. Because it doesn't work. That's not Microsoft's fault. Microsoft's trying. They're still trying. But Apple is quite restrictive as compared to Google, as being the other kind of major platform, when it comes to how developers can get apps on the respective stores on those different platforms. Apple's process, and this is a quote, so go by the show notes, gamingandcensored.com. There's a couple of stories there. We're not going to dive into all this stuff because there's a lot of kind of commentary there. But to give some background of this issue, I include those on the show notes. But this is Apple's spokesperson speaking to this specifically of why Game Pass at this point won't appear on the App Store. It says, quote, the App Store was created to be a safe and trusted place for customers to discover and download apps, and a great business opportunity for all developers. Thank you, Apple. Before they go on our store, meaning apps, all apps are reviewed against the same set of guidelines that are intended to protect customers and provide a fair and level playing field for developers. Our customers enjoy great apps from millions of games and developers, and on and on and on. The catch is, the reason why this doesn't work, why there's a hitch here, is that Apple requires the ability to rate and post individual games on their service that you can access, or individual apps or whatever it is, but in this case it would be games. And so when you
sounds good, right? Sounds logical.
Theoretically. When you first think about it, and of course with kind of Apple's closed platform approach, you go, okay, yeah. But the thing is that with a service like xCloud or Stadia, because Stadia also is not available on iOS devices, the problem is that all the games that you access are a step away, right? That, like, you get Stadia, and then inside of Stadia, there's games. And so you're playing games on an iPhone, but you're playing through this service. Same thing with xCloud, that you'd get xCloud, and then all the games would be in xCloud. The App Store doesn't have, say, Halo on it. The App Store has xCloud, and xCloud has Halo. And so Apple's problem is that Apple can't regulate what's on Stadia or what's on xCloud or any other service that's like that. They can, of course, regulate what's just on their App Store, and that's what they want to be able to do. And they do that and say that behind this kind of mask of that statement that I just read. We're trying to be a safe and trusted place for customers to discover apps and for developers to have these business opportunities.
Which, by the way, we love Apple, but that's a load of crap.
Yeah.
Like, we love Apple. I have a Mac, you have a Mac, we record this show on Macs. I don't know what's going to happen when my Mac decides to die, because I'm just going to have to buy another one. We love Apple.
Yes.
And we always have. But that is a load of crap, because one thing that Apple does, that I suppose everybody else does, but Apple is maniacal about controlling and saying, this is what you're going to do and this is how you're going to do it because we're Apple. And for the most part, I'm okay with that. When it comes to this, it's a load of crap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely about control of you know what revenue streams look like on their platform, and as soon as Apple can get a cut of that, they're going to have a change of heart and say, "Oh, this is now how we protect our customers and give good business opportunities to our developers." Right, is by us as a company being able to bring in more revenue. Because that's what they want. That's what they are. Just their business. And let me be clear. There are some things that I really like about Apple having this stance, insofar as I very rarely run across apps that are like really broken. You know, like just because there's some level of kind of standard and process, like. Most apps, and I download some pretty obscure apps for work, you know, that are, you know, a very, very niche audience of stuff. And even those, for the most part, have a certain quality to them that you don't find, say, downloading something off of the Google Play Store or downloading something on a Windows system, but that you also, for the most part, will find when you download something onto a Mac laptop or desktop or whatever else. Like, Apple just has this is known for the kind of quality of product, even if it's third party stuff, that third party stuff has to match their quality. And so as a consumer, there are benefits to that thing.
Right.
But this is ridiculous.
And I look, I'm in a weird place because I love the Mac. It is by far my favorite computer. I use my laptop every day. Like, I have a monster PC, you have a monster PC, but all it really does is play games and do 3D stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else is on the Mac. All the day-to-day stuff's on the Mac. We record this show on the Mac. If I had to record this show on the PC, I could do it.
We did it for a long time.
I would... Honestly, I can't tell you why. because it's not that big a deal to record it on the PC. It just, so when I have to, it makes me cringe.
Yeah.
Because the software that we have on the Mac and the things that we use and the control that we have as audio producers, you can't really get on the PC. And that sounds snobbish, because it is.
Yeah.
This is what Apple does very, 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 very well. And I, like I said, I know at some point I'm coming up on 7 years with this laptop. I'm going to have to buy another one. I don't want to buy another one because all of the new ones are soldered onto the motherboard. Like, you can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of buying a new Mac, but I probably will.
Sure.
So,
again, that's the power that they have.
Yeah.
God bless them for it.
Like I said, if we had to record this show on PC, we could do it. We wouldn't like it, but we could do it. And it's a weird place to be in. If you've never been, and I say all that to say that I love the Mac, but I also have a Samsung phone, which, like, if somebody told me that I needed to switch to iPhone, I would look at them and say, why? Like, I have no desire to have an iPhone. So I'm in a weird place. Because I love the laptop, but I don't need the phone.
Yeah.
I love my phone because my phone is open. And that probably doesn't make sense. But I can do stuff on my phone you're not ever going to be able to do on your iPhone.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very much, it's similar to the difference of working on a Mac and on a PC. On a PC, you could do all kinds of things, because it's a much more open platform. But you also don't get the same kind of qualitative control that you get on an open platform. There's pluses and minuses. I can make an argument either way, and there's a reason why you and I both are Mac and PC guys that we find use in both of those worlds. But there's not a reason for me to have a second phone to be able to play xCloud, or for you to have a second phone in order to be able to access the Apple App Store. You know, like, two computers make sense for us, two phones doesn't, you know, and so that platform. Now, if I could get a decently cheap Android tablet that's going to do xCloud, if it just can't ever come to iOS, then maybe I will, you know, like, maybe that is a viable option, where then I would have a purpose of having an Android device for gaming, much like I have a PC primarily for gaming, though I use my PC for work a ton. But still, if I didn't need a gaming rig, I wouldn't have the PC I have, obviously. You know, like, I could see that happening eventually with multiple types of mobile devices.
If, like, we could very easily buy an off-the-shelf Dell, which, I mean, that's, if we weren't doing this, we'd be running off-the-shelf Dells. And literally everything would be on the Mac.
Yeah.
Because can you explain it to somebody who's not a Mac person? it is by far my favorite working environment, simply because you saw my computer the other day and you flipped out because you had to reboot it. And there, I had like 10 things open, but you don't know because Mac OS handles it so well. I had like 10, 15 different programs running and you just don't know it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, for the work that I do, there's no other option. Like, I have to work on a Mac, just flat out. Like, it's the only one that makes any sense for me, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But again, once we get into a different world here, there's a lot of other issues that we're gonna run into, and so being aware of that and flexible around that is not something that we've figured out yet. Insofar as there's another story, well, I'll mention just briefly, we won't go into a lot of depth on it, but Fortnite, you know, something we know tons and tons about, ran into an issue both with the Apple Store and with the Google Store that they changed some pricing. And this is how I understand it. So, I don't care about Fortnite enough to do enough research on this point, so I apologize for that. But from what I understand, they did some, like, they do discounts or whatever pretty regularly, and they changed some pricing stuff, but it was a permanent pricing change, and so they offered a way to do how you could, like, purchase stuff for Fortnite for your devices, but not as an in-app purchase from your Fortnite app on your phone or something like that. Essentially, that there was some way that they were circumventing the standard process of doing in-app purchases, which of course Apple gets a cut of and Google gets a cut of. And so it's required if you're an app on the Apple Store that has in-app purchases, that those in-app purchases has to go through their system so they can get their cut of that money. And so by kind of working, circumnavigating that in-app purchase thing, Epic got themselves banned from the iOS App Store. That Apple just kicked them off and said, hey, we don't care Google. That Fortnite's the biggest thing in the world. And Google. Yeah, this was both. Yeah, that's a good point. It was both of them that said, we don't care that you're the biggest game in the world. Like, give us our money, you know? Like, we need our cash. They have that power. And it's just, it's a really interesting dynamic in the world of gaming.
So, one thing, I know you said we weren't going to go deep on this, and I'm not, but I just have to mention one thing. My mother actually pointed this out to me. Nice. Like this, she's like, this came up on my phone that Fortnite got removed from Apple and Google. And I'm like, what? You know, like, you met my mother has no clue about anything. And we're just, you know, hanging out together at breakfast, and she's like, I got this thing on my phone that says Fortnite got removed from the Apple App Store and Google. And so, couple of things on that. I think it was a purposeful thing, because something that we don't talk about a lot on this show is that Epic is sneaking up on some people.
Yeah,
with the way they're doing their platform. My library, because of the free Thursday games, is getting huge. Like, it's not Steam library huge, but it's getting big.
Yeah.
And when they have a sale, because of the discounts and stuff that they do, which are more Epic, pun totally intended, than the Steam Summer Sale at this point, because, you know, they got the price cuts, and then they got the $10 off, and then they got something else. Like, you can't not go over there, right? And so Epic is getting a foothold. And, yeah, Apple and Google are probably saying, yeah, you gotta play by our rules. I'm not sure Epic cares right now.
Yeah. They know they have leverage. And that's the thing, going back to Microsoft as well. Microsoft is going to have leverage. Right now, they don't quite yet, because xCloud isn't an established platform. But it's going to be really soon. And it's like, it's going to be, I going out on the most stable limb I think I've ever got out on this show of saying xCloud is the cloud gaming thing that really is going to take off, has the potential to take off, is the one that can be the thing. Stadia is not it. OnLive wasn't it. All the other ones we've talked about. On and on. But xCloud has Microsoft behind it. Game Pass is established and beloved and has a ton of subscribers. And so if you add that on as a feature, which is what they're doing right now with Game Pass Ultimate, xCloud is part of it, you already have a user base. It's not like Stadia where people have to opt into it. You're already opting into it from this other service. Microsoft's going to have all the leverage at that point of saying, hey, we've got this big platform with all these games, and you can, Apple, say, you know, you have all these games available on your platform by buying into how we're going to do things, you know? And if not, don't, you know, but our platform's still going to exist. Fortnite's still going to exist, and people are just going to be pissed that they can't get it on your phone, you know? Like, that's going to be the thing that happens. They'll come to some agreement on what the money looks like, you know? But I have a hard time imagining that for both of these things, that doesn't eventually get resolved. I just checked Fortnite. Still, I searched on the App Store. It wasn't there. I don't know about Google Store, but on the Apple Store, as of right now, still not there. And so they'll figure it out, I would imagine, because it's beneficial for everybody to figure it out. But it's who has the leverage in the situation. I don't feel like it's Apple that has all the leverage at this point.
No,
you know?
They don't. They don't. And they keep saying that there, you know, there keeps being rumors that they're going to be a gaming platform of their own at some point. But, and that may be the case, that may be what part of this is, but you can't have a valid app store and not have these two specific apps on your app store.
Yeah.
Speaking of xCloud and Fortnite, you just can't.
Yeah.
I have Fortnite on my PC because I downloaded it for my youngest niece, and it makes me cringe every time I see the icon. But it lives on my PC, so that's how you know you got a really big app.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I just think of like Apple TV right now, and like that they did their own streaming service, and it's like, okay, there's like a few shows that I've heard people talk about on Apple TV, but it doesn't seem like a game changer, right? Like, it doesn't, right. Like, I'm not in any rush to go out and pick up Apple TV right now as another streaming service. And that's what I really feel like if they try to do something gaming-wise, like Stadia, again. Google has infrastructure. Google has reach. But Stadia is just kind of meh for lots of reasons we can get into. But, like, it's just not it's not a game changer. And I just, okay. Like, Apple has Apple Arcade, which I subscribe to and I think is cool, and I dig that. But it's, you know, it's apps. It's you know, app games, phone games, not Halo or something like that, you know, that you're streaming on your phone. And so it's, like, in that lane, Apple has a niche. I say niche, it's a pretty big niche, but they have a thing they could do. But they're not going to do xCloud, you know? Like, they're just not going to do that. And they may have their own content, but to think that they're, at this point in time, that their best interest is being in a closed system content creation mode when there's just so much great content out there just seems really silly. Right? Like, they're just not going to, they're not going to put out games that are as good as other games that exist. Maybe they will, but they're not going to put out games that are better, more compelling, you know, like, games are really good right now. It's just really hard for me to see what their play is outside of, okay, we're going to be a platform that helps these other platforms expand and we're going to get a cut of it.
So I did not expect the first 45 right. minutes of the show to go this way. But since we're talking about it, I'll just mention that I bought my parents Apple TV for Christmas because they specifically, I don't know if you know, you probably do because you're a music guy and this is what we do, but you know who Larry Black is. that does Larry's Country Diner and Country Family Reunion and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who that guy is?
Yeah, well, I'm aware. I don't know closely, but yes.
He has done what a lot of other people have done and created an app on the Apple TV that you download this app and you subscribe and it's $10 a month and all of his content is there. Like 20 years worth of these shows and stuff that people that are my parents' age eat up. Like the whole thing is based around music, gospel and country, and like that's what this guy does, and it's what he's done for like 20 years. And so my mom says, I want to try this, and Apple TV is everywhere. Like if you have a smart TV, you will find that you have an Apple TV app on your television. Well, the mistake that Apple made is that you can't get the channels through the app. You got to go buy the hardware. So I went and I bought the hardware for my folks, trying to move my family to the idea of cord cutting and streaming and all that. And what happened was my dad took one look at it and did the old man thing and said, I don't understand. like there's too much stuff. Like, why can't I? They have my Apple ID. Why doesn't that just log me into everything?
Right.
And that's what they need to do to make it work. But for each individual app, you gotta create an account. And you gotta do a login. And it's fine once you are signed in, it's all good. But until you get to that point, it's a pain in the butt.
Yep.
And if Apple really wanted to be successful with the Apple TV, because you've got to have an Apple ID to even use the thing, if they really wanted to be successful, the way that they have to do it, I think, is to make it where the Apple ID just signs you into everything no matter what you download.
Yeah.
And if you have something that is like this Country Roads TV that my parents are subscribed to, you just click the button and it says, do you want to subscribe to this? And it's one click, because that's the problem my dad has. Is you get all these different apps and he's like, I got to have an account for this and I got to have an account for this and I got to... Like, you go through the same issue at your house. You got an account for Hulu, and you got an account for all this other stuff. And the issue that Apple has is they sell Apple TV as the hardware side of it as it's one box for all your stuff. But what they don't tell you is you still got to have an account for every individual thing.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous. It's not well done. And just going back to Apple Arcade works because you have it on your phone, right? Like,
yeah.
That's another thing that's on your phone. It's also available on the Apple TV, but I have no desire to play with it.
Yeah. It's you know, it's phone games, you know, like that's what it is. It is great because it's phone games and I want games on my phone. But that's, yeah, it's not the same as holding a controller, which if you're playing xCloud games, you want to hold a controller on your phone.
Yes.
With a little, you know, bracket to hold your phone as a little portable screen, whatever. But you still want to do that with an Xbox controller and whatever. So we'll get off that for now. We're going to obviously be talking about Apple and video games forever because it's going to be a topic. But we'll stick with Microsoft for just a second. Talk about Halo for just a little bit. First bit of news is that shocker, shocker here, Halo Infinite has officially been delayed until 2021. So we got the debut of Halo Infinite that we talked about last month that was met by not super excitement across the gaming world with its kind of lackluster visuals for being quote unquote next gen. We'll get into that here in just a second. But it seems like, okay, fine. You know, like they wanted it to be a launch title for the Series X, but the Series X isn't going to actually have launch titles per se because it's not a standalone. It's not a next generation console per se. Again, we'll get into that more in a second. But Halo as a game looks like it needed work still. It wasn't something that they showed off that everybody went, give me that now. You know, and so knowing that, it seems wise. Phil Spencer said something to the extent of, this isn't the game that the community wants yet, which I would say is accurate based off of the community after they showed it off. But it does seem like a hit for the Series X that it's not going to have a Halo title coming alongside of it, when really Halo and maybe Gears of War, like what else is an Xbox title? What else? Forza, I guess. But that's it, such a niche yeah. audience thing. You know, like what else is a quote unquote Xbox must have, you know, a platform exclusive that is defining of that console? The Series X isn't going to have anything at launch now that is a defining Xbox experience. And that seems like a hit for the console.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And I don't know that, well, I do know that they did not expect Halo to get the response that it got.
Yeah.
And then it got that response and they're like, oh, crap, we have to do something else. Let's push it back because obviously this is not what people want to see. And so now they're in this spot of, yeah, you're right. We don't really have anything. And Gears doesn't even really count because Gears is on PC now.
Sure.
Like, I can go get Gears 5 on PC. And the only thing that's stopping me is because I have 8,000 other things to play.
Yeah, and you can get Gears 5 as part of your $5 a month Game Pass. You know, like you yes. don't even have to pay extra for it at this point, which is brilliant. And yet, I do have it on my PC, and I've played about 5 minutes of it, and I've just not gone back to it yet. You know, like that, the one of the most compelling series that they have still hasn't been able to tear me away from other games that I'm playing. Yeah, I just, again, we've talked about this. We know Microsoft is doing different things than what Sony is doing, and Nintendo lives in their own world. But it just, like, I don't really get, like, what Microsoft's short-term plan is, other than I think that the Series X is probably still going to sell decently well just because people are fans of Microsoft. One other thing I'll mention about Halo, and then we'll get more into that side of things. It was also confirmed that it's going to be free to play multiplayer. And so you don't even have to buy the game, or be on Game Pass. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you will, but they say free to play. It'll be free to play multiplayer, which also hints at the necessity of an Xbox Live, subscription to play multiplayer going away, which, come on, guys, honestly, in 2020, you shouldn't have to pay extra money to play games online with friends. And so hopefully that is a thing that goes away from everybody, that we can get away.
I think these
subscription services turn into service subscriptions with games as opposed to access subscriptions to get on to multiplayer.
I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to get lumped into Game Pass. I think... And this is something that I was going to bring up earlier. I've been trying to decide because I get the note from PayPal that I paid Microsoft my $5
right.
for the next month at the end of every month. And I've been looking at it, trying to decide what is the annual amount of money that I would be willing to pay. And this is a very much a weird adult thing, because I pay for Origin annually. I don't pay for it monthly. I pay as many things as I possibly can annually because I just want to pay for it, not think about it.
Sure.
Like, it kind of bothers me every month to be like, oh, here, you gave us $5. Like, I just want to pay for it and be done. And that way I know it's paid for and whatever. And so I've been trying to figure out when they go up. We've been talking about the fact that they will go up at some point. What is this service worth? And I think we're coming up on, this may end up being like a $250 a year service. And I think I would pay that.
Yeah.
When it gets there. I mean, that's a little less than $25 a month. And that sounds like a lot, but it's really not.
Yeah, I don't know about the exact numbers. It's definitely going to go up. It's definitely going to be worth paying more for it. It's a really, really great platform, and the access to other games just on the PC is really great. Like I've been playing just some random stuff off Game Pass. You know, like just stuff that I can do. Kind of mindlessly. The game I've been playing the most, I actually got off of the Humble subscription service, which is yet another one we have. That's you know, like a sim kind of game that I can have running while I work and requires not constant attention, right? Like I can set up some like automated tasks to happen, and then I can work on my job in real life, and then I can come back to this fake job on the computer and like decompress with fake work while I'm not doing my real work, which now that I'm saying this out loud just seems like the most ridiculous thing I do with my time, but in the moment, like, it seems to make sense. But all that to say, like Game Pass as a service is really phenomenal, and it's not one I'm going to give up anytime soon. And I would love to have it on, you know, a streaming platform as well, even if I don't see myself buying an Xbox Series X, which at this point I don't. We'll see what the Series S thing is, and maybe that gets me. But at this point, if I could get access to, you know, xCloud on a mobile device and be able to play games that way, or ultimately, you know, on my PC, which is going to be the most likely way I'd want to access that, I'm going to be perfectly fine with that, you know, and Game Pass is going to be the subscription service that's given me that access, and I would definitely pay more for it. $25 a month? Maybe. You know, like I you start like doing out the math, I'm like, yeah, I could potentially see that, you know? Like it really just depends on what the software is and how much I want those games.
Well, and look,
but it's such a good service.
Here's the deal. And I can't believe I'm about to say this. But if Microsoft would give me a stripped down version of the console that was $150, and there was some bonus to Game Pass, like you get a year of Game Pass,
yeah,
buy this and you get a year of Game Pass for free or whatever, I'm buying that. Like, here, take my money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I'll ever use the, like, the ultimate thing for me would be to buy that and have a media box that works with a remote that I already have in my house. I don't have to have a PlayStation controller. Like, if they wanted to do that and I could have Hulu and all that crap on an actual remote that I could watch, you know, and not require a controller. That's a weird handicap guy thing, but it's one that I'm really starting to get frustrated about.
Yeah.
If they did that, if they put a box out for $150 and said, we'll give you your Game Pass, here, take my money.
Right.
I'm just like, I'll say it's for the show or whatever. And then if we ever need an Xbox, then there it is.
Yeah.
That I think that's the way they have to do it. The Game Pass is going to sell it.
Yes, absolutely. And Microsoft knows that. There's another one. There's stories in the show notes. It's Phil Spencer saying that Xbox Series X, quote, will not be part of a next generation console war, which is exactly how they're kind of building themselves up right now. And this gets into, I'm going to lump a bunch of stories together in part because we're running out of time, but also in part because they just all overlap so much. There was this big to-do about controllers a couple weeks ago because news came out that your Xbox One controllers will work on your Xbox Series X. But of course, that doesn't work on the PlayStation 5. Your PlayStation 4 controllers will work on a PlayStation 5 to play PlayStation 4 games, but won't be available to play PlayStation 5 games, which also makes sense because Xbox Series X doesn't have Xbox Series X games. There's no exclusives for the thing at this point. There's no reason that it needs a controller that does anything different than the Xbox One controller does because every game is also going to be on the Xbox One. That's not the case with Sony, right? The Sony has PlayStation 5 exclusives that aren't going to be games that are coming out on the PlayStation 4, and so they have a controller like we've had in every generation. And it was like billed as like, oh, Microsoft is doing this great thing for consumers and Sony just doesn't get it thing on Twitter, and I was like, no, they're just doing fundamentally different things. Like, the Series X right now is a really, really beefed up Xbox One. Great bit of hardware. You know, this thing's going to be super powerful, but they're not designing games for it. They're going to optimize games for it, and games are going to look really good on it, but they're still going to be Xbox One games that look really good on this new hardware, just like they looked better on the Xbox One X than they did on the Xbox One when it first came out. Like, it's just, it feels like that kind of progression to it. Microsoft is building a platform. That's what they're even saying out loud. Like, they're admitting, like, they're not competing directly with Sony in this next-gen thing. Sony is making a next-gen console. Microsoft is making a platform that's past hardware. They're looking past hardware with new hardware, strangely enough, but with a platform and software approach that isn't utilizing that hardware in the way that we think of generational changes in gaming doing, where Sony is doing very, very, very kind of traditional next-gen kind of stuff. I think in the long run, that's brilliant of Microsoft. I think it's going to be a really good thing for them. But in the short term, it's just really difficult to compare what Microsoft is doing and what Sony is doing because they're very, very different things.
And like, I don't think I've ever really said that out loud, but that's really all it would take to get me to buy the hardware is to say, here's the price, and it's a reasonable price, and we'll give you a year or 2 years or whatever, a Game Pass. Here.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah.
Like, that's I don't even care what the hardware is. It could be a lemon frog. Just take the money.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the thing. I'm not giving up Game Pass like anytime soon. It's a good enough service that I use enough at this point, especially because it's just on PC. It's just $5 a month for us right now. That will increase. But for what it is for that price right now, there's zero reason I'm letting go of that. And so even though I have zero interest in buying Xbox hardware, Xbox has me, you know, like they've got me. They're getting my money. And they're going to continue to get my money, and good for them. And that's what they want to do. And so, like, it's they're succeeding in that sense. So, really quick, a couple of things about Sony while we're on next gen stuff. Sony did a state of play, by the way. Let's mention that we're not going to get to talk about much of it, but they did do a state of play where
there
wasn't
a lot there.
Crash Bandicoot 4. If that's your thing, I know. People love Crash Bandicoot. It's not my thing, but I get it. I get why people love it and are excited about Crash Bandicoot 4. They showed off a little bit of Godfall at the end, which still has yet to really captivate my interest, but is an exclusive to the PlayStation 5, right? I mean, at least as far as kind of next-gen hardware stuff, whatever. There is a patent that points at already them planning for a PlayStation 5 Pro, so an even beefier version of their console. They did talk a little bit about PlayStation VR in the state of play about Hitman being in PlayStation VR, which is kind of cool. Not anything specific about PlayStation VR and the PlayStation 5, but it does hint that they're still working on PlayStation 5 in VR. One rumor that's come out is that they're looking at a new way to do the camera. so that it will track multiple headsets at the same time. And so there's this kind of idea that you might be able to do same room multiplayer VR with multiple headsets, which is kind of awesome.
So a couple of things on that. I watched it and you're right, the VR was there. The other thing that really got me was the entire rest of the state of play was platformers.
Yes, so many platformers.
Like there was
and the one Breath of the Wild clone, that one game that just is a straight up ripoff of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I mean, it was a ton of platformers. And I'm like, if you love platformers, this is your console. Because it was 25 minutes of platformers and 5 minutes of Hitman, which I, like, we really have to get a PlayStation VR. There's no way around. We have to get one. Because I think at the end of the day, it's going to end up being a really stellar platform. I have no desire to play Hitman in VR. But it's cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I agree with that. The one thing I would say is at this point, I'm going to wait for PlayStation VR on the PlayStation 5, right? Like, I don't need VR enough on the PlayStation right now to invest in it on the PlayStation 4. But okay, as soon as it's here on the PlayStation 5, assuming that it's going to be a different headset and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to be here for it. I'm pretty pumped about the future of VR on PlayStation.
So since we're going there, and since they have this patent, my next question to you is, are we going to be the cheapest people on the planet and wait for the PS5 Pro? Because if that's out there and it's a little more extra money, I think I'm probably going to opt for that thing. Because out of this, if I'm going to buy a console and I'm gonna give Sony a kidney. Right. I want the best, most powerful console they got. And I don't know that the Pro, as far as the PS4 is concerned, is that much of a bigger deal. But because of the hard drive on the PS5 that nobody else has got and nobody else is gonna have, if they do a Pro version of the PS5, I think I kind of got to have that.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be out for a couple of years. I'm not going to wait for that.
I'm with you that I'm not going to wait for that. But I'll.
But once it gets here, yeah. It's kind of a no-brainer. It seems, at least at this point, that it'll be a no-brainer. Obviously, we'll have to see what it looks like at this point.
I despise the idea of doing the Chad thing where you have, like, three different PlayStation 5s. Like, I don't really, you know, that's so Orange County. It's like I've got, like, 8 Switches, and I've got 4 PlayStation 5s, and oh, did I mention the gaming community that we're in has a pool? Like, it's very Orange County, and I just sort of can't really do it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It seems a little absurd, but if it's enough of a boost and it's going to make VR that much more immersive, I would definitely give it a thought. Quick, I want to mention a couple of comic book things because there's a couple of fun both Marvel and DC gaming world stuff to mention. First of all, the Marvel news that Spider-Man will be an exclusive playable character in the Avengers game on the PlayStation platform, not on any other platform. That, again, got people really, really fired up, and to which my response was, this still kind of looks like a bad game, right? Like, Spider-Man doesn't fix the fact that what we've seen of the game so far just isn't that compelling. I will say our boy Sam on Facebook is playing the beta and said that he's kind of digging it. And so that's encouraging. And so hopefully it's not terrible. But I feel like the success of Insomniac Spider-Man on the PlayStation makes people think that now the Avengers game, not by Insomniac, it's going to be like that good of a game. It's like, that's definitely not it. Like, Spider-Man isn't going to make that game that much better. Like, it still looks like a fairly mediocre game.
Well, let's be honest. It's going to make what it's going to do. I know that Insomniac doesn't want this because it's going to make them look bad because that game, the Avengers game, is not rigged the way that their game is rigged to get Spidey all over the world and in all kinds of magical Spidey ways. We've been totally spoiled by Insomniac, and the idea of throwing Spider-Man into another game at this point is terrifying.
Yes.
Because I can't even hold the controller, and I know that there is literally no other way to play Spider-Man at this point after you played that game. Like, you can't go back to mediocre Spider-Man.
Yeah. But I 100% agree. And it feels like it's going to be mediocre Spider-Man in that game, which is too bad. But Insomniac Spider-Man is going to continue to be great, I think. Miles Morales on PlayStation 5 looks fantastic, and I will play that and be super happy with it. The other bit of comic book news on the DC side now is that Rocksteady has officially teased their next game, let us know at least what their next game is about, and it's a Suicide Squad game, which is not what I was expecting either. So I'm curious to your thoughts on this. Rocksteady made some really great games, and so I know they can make a good game. I just don't find Suicide Squad all that compelling.
I love comic books. I love comic books. I've loved comic books my entire life. You and I haven't talked to each other, but I don't. I think I mentioned to you the idea that I found my diploma from West Texas A&M University.
Yeah,
stuffed away in a cabinet while we were looking and finding that, we found mountains and mountains and mountains of comic books. I love comic books. I love comic books, and I want to see really, really good DC games, but not the Suicide Squad.
Exactly right.
Like, that's awful.
There's so much you can do that, like, can be really good. It's
look, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that a Harley Quinn exclusive that is not Suicide Squad would be way better than Suicide Squad. Like,
yeah.
I trust Rocksteady with Harley Quinn. They would do Harley really, really well. I want to see that.
That would be better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's just so much good stuff, and maybe they'll make a great game. Part of it, I think, too, is that I've just, you know, like, my most recent experience with Suicide Squad, excuse me, was a what I thought was a fairly mediocre movie, you know, that, like, honestly,
I mean, it was all right.
Yeah, it was fine. But, like, we're kind of spoiled by MCU that, like, it was all right, you know, but it just,
well,
like, I wasn't in a hurry to go out, even like Birds of Prey, like, just kind of whatever, you know, like, it just that just doesn't have a spot in my heart right now. Rocksteady being a developer that I really like, making a game about something that I'm just not super into was just kind of a bummer.
Let me throw one more at you, and I know we got to move, but let me throw one more at you. I would rather see the Joker than the Suicide Squad.
100%. That could be super compelling, right? That could be, like, Rocksteady could pull that off, because Rocksteady's pulled off. They can do a narrative around a single character in a really, really fun way. Yeah, just, I don't know. We'll see what happens. They teased it on Twitter with an image of like a crosshair in the back of Superman's head and whatever. They're going to show it more this next week. And so next time we do a show, we'll have more details about it. So I'm interested to see if we feel differently, more encouraged after seeing that. Again, Rocksteady's solid. And so that's the one hope out of this whole thing is that they've made good games in the past, and so hopefully that they can deliver on that again. So we'll see what happens. Super quick, I'm going to mention a couple of releases, and then the little girl wants to come in and say hi. So I'm going to make sure we have space for that.
Sweet.
First of all, Fall Guys is officially out. It is actually one of the free PlayStation titles this month as a launch title, which is pretty cool. And so on the PlayStation, you can get that on PlayStation Plus. But you can also get it on Steam. It's got an 80 Metacritic score, which is good, and is really, really tearing up like Twitch and that world of like, I haven't played it yet. I have it like ready to download on my 500 gig PS5 that has two games installed right now. So the hard drive's full. I haven't got to playing it yet, but it's on my short list because apparently it's super fun. It's the kind of like competition game I could very much see myself getting into because it's not a first person shooter, which I generally suck at, or a third person shooter, which I equally suck at. And so that one's tearing it up. And then the other one I just want to mention really quick is the Fast and the Furious Crossroads, which we saw, I think it was at E3 last year. Yeah, it has a 37 on Metacritic, which is maybe the worst Metacritic score I can remember seeing. That's just awful, which it looked awful. Like, again, it's a full price game. We talked about it at the time, like this should be a free to play, and it's not. So.
No.
Oh, you're here.
She's here. Wow, ladies and gentlemen. That right there means the show is over.
All right.
Hey.
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 How's it going? Good. All right, you got to talk into the microphone.
What are you doing, little girl?
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Hey.
Say, you have your cheese? I'm glad you brought cheese with you. What are you doing?
I'm just sitting here.
You're just sitting here? Mm-hmm. Did you play any video games today?
I played video games.
What did you play?
I played three like this.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Did you play some Animal Crossing today?
I played some Animal Crossing.
The island? Mm-hmm. What did you do on the island?
I played baseball.
You played baseball? Wow. You watch some baseball.
I watch some baseball.
Did you pick anything on the island?
Some apples.
Did you pick some apples?
Mm-hmm. And I put apples on it down, and the guy who picks it up.
Yeah, there's a guy who picks it up, which is...
Okay, wasn't your last mention that I'm sitting here, and I'm totally captivated by listening to her. Like, the audio is still running. We're still recording. We know you're hearing this, but we really don't care because we're totally captivated. So, yeah.
Are you captivating? Even you just breathing into a microphone?
Yeah.
Anything else on that today?
Yeah.
What else did you play?
I don't know.
Did you play some Mario?
I played some Mario and Mario.
Yeah. She has her little action figure Mario that she had to show the Mario on the Switch.
She has an amiibo?
It's not an amiibo.
Cool. Okay.
But it is a little action figure kind of like an amiibo.
No, Mario.
Mario. Not an amiibo.
I like it.
She's also just like rubbing the microphone, so all that noise, I apologize for.
I'm cool with it. It's all good. It's all good. Okay, so you're gonna help me close the show?
That is a record for a record player. All right, you're gonna help Jamie close the show? You remember how to do it? With your mouth full of cheese? She just stuck a whole bunch of string cheese in her mouth, so be prepared for it.
All right, little girl, you ready? Say, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we're out.
Can you say that?
This is.
Oh, take the cheese out of your mouth. Good call. You can put it in my hand. Lovely. I got half chewed cheese in my hand now. Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of it.
All right, say this is.
This is.
Gaming.
Gaming.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
And we're out.
And we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.